stand up and join in. We're going to sing Joy to the World. And this Christmas season, I'm glad you guys are here. All right.
Joy to the world, the Lord.
our burdens, covering our shame. He has overcome, yeah, he has overcome. We will not be shaken, we will not be moved. Jesus, you are he. I will live, I will not die. The resurrection power of Christ alive in me, and I am free in Jesus' name. Carrying our burdens, covering our shame, he has overcome. Everybody sing this one. This is the song, right? This is the most beautiful song. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to him. beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, the veil torn before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. You have no right.
Name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, the Bible says that God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at that name every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. There's no rival, there's no equal, there's no one like him. Come on, family. There's no one like him. There's no one like him. There's no one like him. And you know, it's not just a name that we call him by, but it's a name. He said, if you ask anything in my name, God will do it for you. There is power in the name of Jesus. His name was bestowed on him, And he has given that name to us. He said, in my name, you will go out. In my name, you will lay hands on the sick. In my name. And when we do anything in the name of Jesus, it carries the power of the name of Jesus. Amen. And so right now, we, as we sing our final song, we have the opportunity to get prayer. If you need prayer this morning, if you need your circumstances to change, if you need the power of God to come into your situation and change something on your behalf, the name of Jesus carries that power. Amen. But we have to apply it. We have to take a hold of it. So if there is something, any area of your life, whether it's you're struggling with mental issues or a discouragement or in your finances or in your family, in your relationships, in your body, whatever it is, nothing's too small. Nothing's too small. Bring it to the Lord. Our prayer team are going to line up here. We know, we believe that what the Word of God says, that in the name of Jesus, all things can change. Amen. All things are possible. So just come on forward as we sing this final song. Those who are not coming forward, just worship with us. Worship changes the atmosphere. Worship prepares your heart. Worship puts your focus on the Lord. Amen. That's what we want this morning. But otherwise, if you need prayer, just slip out of your seats and come down, and we'll pray with you and for you. Amen.
For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. I exalt thee.
Come on, church, let's sing it out. I exalt thee.
I exalt thee. Oh,
Humble yourself. You humble yourself. If you got a problem worshiping God, you got a problem humbling yourself.
That's true. Yeah. That is.
Because
right.
You think it's all about you.
Right.
And let me tell you, it ain't about you. It's about Him. It's about Jesus. And when you David was such a delight to the Lord. God took such pleasure in David. And I tell you, one of the main reasons is because David was a worshiper. David worshiped God all the time, no matter what was going on. David was a king. And he humbled himself. Got down on his knees. Lord, I exalt you. I exalt you. I worship you. You gotta understand, that's what worship is. Worship is humbling yourself before God. And saying, Lord, I don't care how I look. I don't care what anybody thinks about me. All I care is what you think about me. And I will exalt you. I will bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me, I will bless His holy name. Can you say amen, somebody? Come on, put your hands together and give God a big shout of praise. Hallelujah. Let's exalt Him. Let's exalt Him.
Oh, Lord, you reign.
exalt you, Lord.
For when we begin to exalt the Lord, we bow our knee in his presence. And as we exalt him, we are declaring his lordship over every area of our lives. We are declaring that every circumstance surrounding us bows its knee to the name of Jesus. We are declaring that he is high and he is lifted up, that he is the one true God, that he is the Most High God, that there is no one like him, that no one can compare to him. We are declaring there's nothing that can come against us that does not have to bow its knee to the name of Jesus. We are declaring that he is greater and he is stronger and he is mightier and he is more powerful than anything we could ever face. We are declaring that the battle is the Lord's. We are declaring that we have the victory in every situation. We are declaring that God fights for us. We are declaring, like David did, that he can look and say, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that dares to defy the armies of God, the living God? For he knew that he had a covenant. He knew that he stood strong, and he knew that his covenant partner was more than able. I said he was more than able. I said he was more than able. He was more than able. So he came with a boldness. He came with a boldness that was not because of his stature. It was not because of his experience. It was not because of his age. It was not because of his physical ability. But it was purely because he knew whom he served. And he knew who was on his side. And he began to exalt God in the midst of a giant facing him. And as he did that, God's armies took over and fought on his behalf. David did not fight on his own, but he fought in the power and the ability that God had for him. He is the captain of the Lord of hosts. He is the captain of the Lord of hosts in your life. He will handle whatever situation. If you will humble yourself and say, you are greater, you are mightier, you are well able, you're on my side, you fight my battles. That's all it takes, family. Come on, lift your hands in this place and declare, Lord, you are Lord of every area, every part of my life, every part of my life. You are Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes. We exalt. Come on, sing it. We exalt you, Lord.
We exalt thee. Oh Lord.
Sing it one more time.
We exalt you in this place, Lord.
Mean it. Sing it.
We
mean it.
Exalt thee. We exalt thee. We exalt thee. Oh Lord.
Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your presence in this place today. Spirit of God, you are welcome in this place, and we ask you to have your way. We ask you to touch every life. We ask you to touch every heart. Lord, I pray that not one person will leave here the same way that they came in, but that they will be changed, they will be touched, they will be ministered to by your word, by your spirit. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We thank you. You're the healer. You're the deliverer. You're the provider. You're the savior. Lord, we praise you today. Come on. Give him a big round of praise. Put your hands together and give God praise today. Give him a shout. Hallelujah, Lord. We praise you today.
Man, that's hard to stop worshiping when you start, right? Praise God. We're going to stop. We've got 60 seconds. Turn and find somebody. Tell them how good they look today. And you may be seated. Thank you. Welcome to Ascend Church. Welcome to those watching online. We're glad you've joined us this morning. I'm ready for the Word of God in this place. How about you? Amen. I read this scripture and I just loved it because Jesus said this. He said, "These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock." So I love that. It's these words are not incidental additions. It's not just like, well, I've got a lot going, good things going on in my life. I'm going to just add a little bit of church, a little bit of encouragement from the Word of God. No, these are the foundations. This is the foundation to build our life on. Amen. The Word of God today. But we're so glad you're here, and I want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. We always love having visitors in our church, and we'd like to honor you. I'm not sure if there's anyone visiting for the first time. Would you mind just waving your hand that we can recognize you? I don't see faces that I don't know. We've got to bring our friends and family, right? Anybody knows somebody who could do with being in the presence of God? I do. Amen. Let's invite them. But we just welcome you to church. If you would like to share this, we're going Facebook Live, which is a real blessing. It's a way to spread the word. So if you want to share that, go ahead and do that. I just want to remind you of our purposes as a church, our four purposes. The first one is to help you to know God better. The second one is to find freedom. The third one is to discover your purpose. And fourthly, to make a difference with your life. Amen. And that's what every service and everything we do is designed towards. So we are so thankful for you being here and worshiping with us this morning. Pastor Steve, ready for you.
Come on then. Praise God. Good morning, everybody. It's good. Tell your neighbor, it's good to see you today. I can't think of anywhere that I'd rather be on Sunday morning than in the house of God with the people, the family of God, hearing the word of God, in the presence of God. What a way to start your week, right? Because this is the beginning of your week. Well, this is the right way to start your week, honoring God, putting God first. And you know, it's amazing. I know a lot of things going on over December. I know people busy here or there. But remember, let's remember what the season's all about. It's about Jesus. Sometimes we get so caught up in our activities, we forget about what Christmas is all about. It's about Jesus. Amen? So anyway, Merry Christmas. We are celebrating Christmas all through December. We had a great time here on Friday with our Christmas movie. And this Wednesday, we're looking forward to our dinner. Can I ask the lights to just come a little bit down? They're like, seem extra bright today. Just a little bit dimmer if you can. And still see me. There you go. Are you ready for God's word today? Say, I am ready to receive God's word today. Father, thank you for your word today, Lord. Your word is what brings life. Your word is what brings wisdom, direction. Your word brings healing. Your word brings salvation. Your word, Father, is what brings revelation of who you are. And I thank you today, Lord, that you anoint your word as it goes forth. I thank you, Father, that it's your word is finds a resting place in each and every heart today. In the name of Jesus, we give you the thanks and the praise for everything that will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, praise God. The band did a wonderful job. Won't you give our worship team a big round of applause? They did a great job. They always do. They always do, but it just seems you're getting better and better. It was really, as we say, it was really tight today. Do you know what that means? Musicians know what that means. It was good today. I enjoyed it, man. Thank you so much. So anyway, this morning, I want to speak to you about clear your mind. Tell your neighbor, it is time to clear your mind. Now, I didn't say empty your mind. I said clear your mind. The scripture says in 1 Peter 1 verse 13, gird up the loins of your mind. Now, that's the New King James translation, but let me read it in a couple of other translations because I'm not sure if you understand what it means to gird up the loins of your mind. You don't know what gird up means. You don't know what loins mean. The modern English version says, guard your mind. The God's Word translation says, your mind must be clear and ready for action. Your mind must be clear, ready for action. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5 says the same thing. It says, you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Now, the word clear, I did a search on what it means. The word clear means to remove an obstruction or an unwanted item. Let me tell you, there's some unwanted items in your mind that you need to get rid of. The Urban Dictionary, do you know what the Urban Dictionary is? Anyone know what the Urban Dictionary is? It's like the cultural version. This is what the Urban Dictionary says. The word clear. It is used to indicate that a room doesn't have any hostiles in it. Like when the FBI clear a room. Clear, you know what I'm saying? That's what you can do in your mind. You got to, if there's any hostile thoughts in your mind, you really think you're going to get healed? You got to clear your mind of that thought. Are you with me? We need to clear our mind of every thought that is hostile to the Word of God. Thoughts that are hostile to us. Some people's minds are cluttered up with junk, with hostile thoughts. Some of us, our minds are so filled with worry, we can't sleep at night. You know, it's easy to go around worried about your future or stressed out over your finances or frustrated with your boss, or, you know, you can be tempted to live guilty because of past mistakes that you've made, or bitter because of something that didn't work out. And then we wonder why we don't enjoy our life. We're not passionate about our dreams, why we can't sleep at night. It's because our mind is cluttered, and God didn't create us to live worried and bitter and upset and frustrated. If you're going to reach your destiny, you got to clear out the clutter. You got to protect your mind. Amen? The Bible says in Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says, more than anything that you guard, protect your mind, for life flows from it. Another translation, the English Revised Version, says, above all, be careful what you think, because your thoughts control your life. The Bible says, more than anything you guard, guard your mind. Now, you know, we guard things. We guard our house. We've locked our front door, right? Yes. You put valuables in a safe. I've got a safe at home. Nothing in it, but I've got a safe. But, you know, the Bible says, more than anything else, you've got to protect your mind. Because it controls your life. Your thoughts control your life. You can't stop negative thoughts from coming to your mind. Like Kenneth Hagin used to say, you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from making a nest in your ear. Amen. I can't stop the enemy from shooting wrong thoughts to my mind, but I can keep them from staying. I don't have to hold on to them. You see, when we make mistakes, guilt will come, thoughts of guilt, condemnation, telling us how we don't measure up. You can hold on to that thought. You can go around down on yourself, or you can let it go. Say, Father, I thank you that I am forgiven. I thank you that I am redeemed. I thank you that the past is over. I thank you this is a new day. I thank you I'm moving forward in my life. When you go through a disappointment, something didn't work out, you can hold on to that. You can be discouraged, or you can let it go. Say, God, I know you got something better. I know your plans for me are for good. I know you're directing my steps. The medical report is not good, or that contract doesn't go through, or you're in a legal situation. You can hold on to it, and you can live worried, thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Or you can let it go and say, God, I know you're fighting my battles. I know what's meant for my harm. You're turning to my advantage. I may not see a way, but Lord, I know that you have a way. So you've got to clear out the clutter. You've got to get rid of the negative things that are stealing your peace and stealing your joy and draining your energy. The scripture tells us to guard our mind, protect our mind. And you've got to be proactive when it comes to keeping your mind in peace. Because let me tell you, all through the day there's clutter, there's noise, there's jealousy, hurts, offenses. They may come, but we don't have to hold on to these things. Have you ever seen the TV show called Hoarders? Anyone ever seen that show called Hoarders? Where people, you know, they never throw anything away. Like this one lady, she lived in a two-story house, but you couldn't get upstairs because it was so piled full of trash, old newspapers and empty cereal boxes and cans from food she'd eaten 20 years ago. There was a small path that, to the kitchen and to the bathroom and a little place for her to sleep. There were big walls of trash on either side, all through the house. It got so bad, the authorities did an intervention. They knocked on the front door, but she couldn't open it. So they had to go around the side door, barely were able to squeeze in. At one point, one of the men picked up an old popsicle wrapper. There were thousands of them piled all over the room, and he asked if he could get rid of it. And she said, no, that belonged to one of my children. It meant something to her, and he had to put it back. It, you know, it seemed obvious to everybody that all she was doing was keeping trash, but she couldn't see it. She was so focused on holding on to everything, she didn't realize how it was limiting her life. But I wonder how many of us are hoarders in our mind. How many of us are holding on to trash in our mind? We're not letting anything go. I remember what you did to me, 1967. I'll never forget it. There's so much clutter that you can't enjoy your life. God has you hearing this today because he wants to do an intervention today. Today is an intervention to clear out the clutter, to clear out the trash. He wants to help you clear out the worry, clear out the offense, clear out the guilt, clear out the bitterness, those things that are cluttering your mind and cluttering your life. You know, what's interesting is when the authorities went to this lady's house, they didn't make her throw away the trash. It was her choice. And eventually she decided she would do it, but it wasn't easy. I mean, everything inside of her was telling her to hold on to it. It's all she'd known for years. Living cluttered had become normal to her. Do you know sometimes living worried has become normal for people? Do you know sometimes living guilty is what we're used to? We've gone around for so many years thinking, well, I don't deserve to be blessed. I made so many mistakes in my life. We've let that recording play so long that we've accepted it. Or maybe feeling inferior, maybe feeling, you know, less than everybody else. Maybe that's how you were raised. Thoughts have told you, you're not that special, you're not that talented, you're not that attractive, you don't really have a good personality. Listen, we didn't know any better. We believed those lies, and now our mind is cluttered. But the good news is this is your day of intervention. It's time to clear out that clutter. It's time to clear your mind. Those thoughts that are telling you that you're not up to par, you need to clear that out. No, I thank God I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I have royal blood flowing through my veins. I'm wearing a crown of favor. I'm a child of the Most High God. You've got to clear out the negative, family. There's enough people in life that are against you. Don't be against yourself. You've been made in the image of Almighty God. And God doesn't make any mistakes. God calls you a masterpiece. God calls you a prized possession. My challenge to you is don't say another negative word about yourself. Stop dwelling on those thoughts telling you what you are not and get in agreement with God. All through the day, this recording should be playing in your mind. I am a masterpiece. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am favored. I'm talented. I'm empowered. God is with me. God is in me. God is for me. When you dwell on what God says about you, it will automatically clear out the clutter. Because you know, fear can't stay where faith is. And discouragement can't stay where hope is. Do you know you can't think two things at the same time? Try it. I tried it. You cannot. It's impossible. You cannot think of two things at the same time. Now you might go between two things, but at the exact same time, you cannot think two things. Your mind cannot do it. Just like you can't say two things. So what I'm saying is when the wrong thoughts come, if you start dwelling on what God says, you can't think two things at the same time. Guilt can't stay where forgiveness is. Sickness can't stay where healing is. You've got to program your mind with what God says about you. This lady that was on Hoarders, she had this beautiful house, but she couldn't enjoy it. She couldn't even get upstairs because of all the trash. You know, in the same way, if you don't clear out the clutter in your mind, it'll keep you from moving to new levels in your life. Do you know worry will depress you and keep you from rising higher? Guilt will keep you condemned. Living guilty will keep you from pursuing your dreams. Going around offended and bitter and discouraged, that'll keep you from new opportunities. Well, Pastor Steve, these people really hurt me and they did me wrong. That's why I'm bitter. Listen, that happened 20 years ago. Why are you still holding on to it today? Why are you still sour over the person that walked away? Still upset over how you were raised? Still bitter over the company that let you go? Don't be a hoarder in your mind. Don't let that poison your future. They hurt you once. Don't let them continue to hurt you by holding on to that. You're going to realize that's cluttering your mind. That's affecting your joy. That's limiting your vision. I'm not saying what they did wasn't hurtful. I'm not making excuses for people's behavior. But what I'm saying, as long as you hold on to it, you're giving them your power. You're letting them control your life. We've only got so much emotional energy every day. And do you know how much energy it takes to hold a grudge? Do you know how much energy it takes to be bitter? To go around trying to pay people back? That's valuable energy you need to pursue your dreams. The Bible, Paul said this in Philippians 3, verse 13, the Apostle Paul. He said, I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Paul said, I'm focused on one thing. I mean, that's amazing. What's the one thing you're focused on, Paul? Forgetting the things in the past and pressing forward to what lies ahead. See, the mistake that we make, you know, sometimes is we think that we got to get even. Listen, that's not your job. If you'll turn it over to God, he'll be your vindicator. He'll bring justice into your life. And I found out God is a much better vindicator than I am. In Romans 12, verse 19, it says, Beloved, don't be obsessed with taking revenge, but leave that to God's righteous justice. For the scriptures say, if you don't take justice in your own hands, I will release justice for you, says the Lord. I'd rather have God's justice. The New Living Bible says, I will take revenge. I'll pay them back, says the Lord. Let me tell you, God has seen every hurt. God has seen every wrong. God has seen every person that took advantage of you. I've learned that God will vindicate me much better than I can vindicate myself. David said in Psalm 23, verse 5, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You prepare a table for me where? In the presence of my enemies. That means when God brings you out, those people that did you wrong, they are going to see you promoted. They're going to see you honored. They're going to see you in a position of influence. God's not going to vindicate you in private. God's going to do it in public. So your enemies see you blessed and favored. Amen. Amen. And if you will stay and rest, God will go to work. But when you work, God rests. When you rest, God works. I'm talking about resting in faith, staying in faith. See, as long as you're uptight and you're worried, you're trying to make it happen in your own strength, that's going to limit what God can do. In Psalm 46, it says, be still and know I am God. Be still and know I am God. I love the Passion translation. The Passion says this, surrender your anxiety. Do you know it's a choice? I surrender my anxiety to God. Be silent and stop your striving, and you will see that I am God. In other words, God will demonstrate. When you clear out the worry, you clear out the negativity, and you live from a place of faith and a place of peace, let me tell you, nothing you are facing in your life is a surprise to God. The Lord told the Israelites in Exodus chapter 14, don't be afraid, do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians that you see today, you will see no more again forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. You see, when you hold your peace, when you stay in a place of rest, that's when God can fight your battles. Now, God didn't mean when he said stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, he's not just talking about standing still physically. He's talking about in their mind, in their attitude, in their spirit. So you might have a lot of reasons to be upset, to be worried, can't sleep at night. But when you're in peace, that's a position of power. Because you're showing God you trust him. You know, anyone can stay in faith when everything's going their way. It doesn't take much faith when everything's going your way. But the test comes when the contract doesn't go through. When your child is off course. When the medical report is not good. It's easy to let that clutter come in your mind. But that's the time Be still. Show God you trust him. Not just with your words, but with your actions. Because let me tell you, the enemy's main target is your mind. The enemy's main target is your mind. That's the control center for your life. If he can keep your mind cluttered and filled with doubt and filled with worry and filled with anxiety, oh, what if it doesn't work out? What if my health doesn't improve? What if I don't meet the right person? What if my child never gets back on the right track? As long as your mind is cluttered, it keeps you from believing what God says. And that's what keeps God from turning it around, because God works with his faith. Amen. In 2 Chronicles chapter 32, the king of Syria had this huge army, and he had invaded the whole region. He was conquering all these large fortified cities, tearing down the walls, capturing the people. And the city of Jerusalem was next in line. That was the next one on his list. And the word quickly spread throughout the camp of the Israelites. They started to panic. They were so worried. They thought, what are we going to do? This army is much bigger, much greater than we are. And I love what King Hezekiah told them. King Hezekiah said to them in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 7, he said, don't be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria or his mighty army, for there is a power far greater on our side. There's a power far greater on my side. He may have a great army, but they are merely men. We have the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles for us. And Hezekiah's words greatly encouraged the people. I want to encourage you today. Don't be afraid, because we got a power far greater with us, and the Lord fights our battles. See, when you face big enemies, when you face big opposition, you got to remind yourself, there's a power far greater on my side. He's bigger than the cancer. He's bigger than the addiction. He's bigger than the financial lack. He's bigger than the people trying to stop you. Amen. And the way that you stay in faith is, don't talk about how big the problem is. Talk about how big your God is. That God is on my side. And Romans 8 verse 31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for me, who can be against me? Isaiah 54 verse 7 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon meant to hurt you will succeed. No weapon formed against you will succeed. Can you hear me okay? I seem to drop a little bit. My volume seemed to drop a little bit. Don't let fear clutter your mind. Don't let doubt keep you from your miracle. Don't let people talk you out of your dream. You know, the king of Assyria, sent a message to the Israelites, threatening them. In 2 Chronicles 32, verse 13, he said to them, don't you realize that I and the other kings of Assyria before me have never yet failed to conquer a nation we attacked? The gods of those nations weren't able to do a thing to save their lands. Name just one time when anyone, anywhere, was able to resist us successfully. What makes you think your God can do any better? Well, let me think about that. What makes me think that my God can do any better? Let me tell you, the enemy will always try to defeat you first in your mind. He'll always attack your mind first. Thoughts like, you're never going to get well. Your grandma died of the same thing. You're never going to break that addiction. That problem is never going to turn around. Don't believe those lies of the enemy. The devil is a deceiver. You've got to clear those thoughts out of your mind. And you've got to realize that the enemy wouldn't be telling you that unless he knew that it was already on the way. You've got to do like Hezekiah did. Lord, this problem formed against me, it may be big, but I know a secret, that no weapon formed against me can succeed. There's a power far greater that is on my side. You see, if Hezekiah was not proactive in his mind, if he didn't speak victory to the people, they would have all panicked. They would have all lived in fear. But instead, they stayed in peace. And guess what happened? In verse 21, the Lord sent an angel who destroyed the Assyrian army with all its commanders, with all its officers, so that Sennacherib was forced to return home in disgrace to his own land. And when he entered the temple of his God, some of his own son killed him with a sword. One angel destroyed the entire army of Assyria. Just one angel of God. Let me tell you, God knows how to vindicate you. He knows how to deliver you. You got to stay in faith when you're tempted to worry. Turn it into worship. Father, thank you. Your angels are working in my life. No weapon formed against me will succeed. Thank you that you're fighting my battles, Lord. Thank you that you're on my side. You're leading me in triumph. The trap the enemy set for me, he's going to fall in himself. Amen. See, if you're going to keep the clutter out of your mind, you got to know what is your job and what is God's job. Because sometimes we're frustrated because we're trying to do what only God can do. You can't make yourself get well. You can't make somebody do what's right. You can't make that door open for you. Our part is to simply believe and trust God. Our part is to stay in faith and let God do his part. Trust him to work it out. Now, I'm not saying that you always sit back and are passive, but there are some battles you're not supposed to fight. You've got to let God fight them for you. Even with this building. Do you know when we lost our previous building on Center Street after a 4-year legal battle, I didn't know how we were going to get in another building. I mean, it was too big for me. Only God could make it happen. I turned it over to him. I trusted God. Lord, thank you that you're fighting my battles for me and that you're doing what I cannot do. And like with Hezekiah, God stepped in and he made things happen that I could have never made happen by myself. But you see, while you're waiting for things to change, you got to win the war in your mind. It's so easy to live worried and focused on the problem, but you got to clear that clutter out. The Bible says in Isaiah 26, verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. The Passion Bible says perfect, absolute peace surrounds those whose imaginations are consumed with you. They confidently trust in you. You see, you got to let your mind be consumed with the Lord and with his word and with what God says, not with what the enemy says. Our part is to keep our mind on him. Lord, I thank you that you're in control. I thank you that you are for me. I thank you that you watch over your word and that you perform it, Father. I thank you that you are faithful. You've not one of your promises has ever failed, Lord. Because let me tell you, if you'll do your part, God will do his part. In the scripture, there were three Hebrew teenagers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were about to be thrown into a fiery furnace. The reason was they refused to bow down to the king's idol. And the king threatened them one last time. One last time, unless you bow down, you're going to be thrown into a burning fiery furnace. And listen what they said in Daniel chapter 3, verse 17. They said, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us, and he will rescue us from your power, O Majesty. They had this attitude of faith. But what they said next was the real key. They said, even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods and we will not worship the gold statue that you have set up. You know, that's a powerful position. When you can say, I'm going to stay in peace if it works out my way and I'm going to stay in peace even if it doesn't work out my way. I mean, you can't beat me because you take away all the power of the enemy. Because if you're only going to be happy if it happens your way, you are setting yourself up for disappointment. Why don't you take this next step and say, God, this is what I'm believing for. This is what I want. But God, you know what's best for me. And if it doesn't happen my way or my timetable, I'm still going to stay in peace. I'm still going to have a song of praise. I'm still going to be good to people. I'm still going to trust you, Lord. That's what allows God to do amazing things in your life, family. But you know, there's so much noise these days. There's a lot of drama, a lot of things you can get pulled into. Worry and conflict and jealousy, and it may be all around you, but you know what? It doesn't have to get on the inside of you. You've got to pay attention to what are you allowing in your mind. Maybe you're at your job, at work, you could be frustrated. Maybe people aren't treating you right. It's easy to let that sour your day and come home negative, but rather clear out that clutter. And realize my time is too valuable to live it upset. Every day is a gift from God. And once it's gone, I can never get it back. Sometimes I think some people are almost hooked on drama. They're hooked on living uptight and worrying, fighting with this relative. We've forgotten what it's like to live in peace, to not have all that clutter. That's not the way God created us to live. In the Garden of Eden, before they ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Let me tell you, there wasn't any noise. There wasn't any drama. There wasn't any jealousy. There wasn't any backstabbing. There wasn't any politics. It was peaceful. It was joyful. And no, it's not like that now, but you can choose to live from a place of peace. You don't have to let what's on the outside get on the inside of you. You know, maybe you've become comfortable with the clutter. You don't realize how it's limiting your life. It's stealing your peace. And let me tell you, it doesn't smell good. When your house is full of garbage, it smells bad. It stinks. Some people, you've got some stinking thoughts in your, some stinking thinking in your mind. Let me tell you, worry doesn't look good on you. Living guilty doesn't look good on you. Living upset, angry, offended, that's not God's will. Clear the clutter from your mind and you'll step into new levels in your life. I heard that a sheep will not give birth in a noisy place. And when a sheep goes into labor, it'll leave the flock and it'll get away from all the commotion and it'll find a quiet place. And in that peaceful atmosphere, that's where it gives birth. Do you know, in the same way, you will not give birth to your dreams in a noisy place. You won't give birth to that breakthrough you're believing for if you're worried, if you're upset. You give birth to your potential. You're not going to give birth to your potential if your mind is full of hurt and full of regrets and full of bitterness and full of anger. You may wonder why God isn't doing anything. Maybe God is waiting for you to find a quiet place. It may be noisy all around you, but in your mind, you can be at peace in your mind. When you know God is in control, I know God is directing my steps. I know nothing can stand against him. Then you can live in a quiet place. David said this in Psalm 23, verse 2. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." Now, the Passion Bible says it like this. "He offers a resting place for me in his luxurious love. He tracks me down to an oasis of peace, the quiet brook of bliss." Now, reading that, you would think David had an easy life in the green pastures by the still waters. You would think David had an easy life. Do you know it was just the opposite? David's life was full of difficulties, full of people trying to stop him, armies trying to defeat him, King Saul trying to kill him, his own son trying to dethrone him. Yet David said, "I lie down in green pastures by the still waters, by an oasis of peace, the quiet brook of bliss." You see, David wasn't talking physically, but in his mind. Despite everything came against him, David chose to live in a place of peace. And let me tell you, God is saying to you today, come over into the green pasture. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come by the still waters. You don't have to carry all that clutter. It's time to get rid of the offenses and get rid of the hurts and get rid of the guilt and get rid of the worry. There are some new things that God wants to birth in your life, family. And you know where he's going to birth them? By the still water. If you'll be still and know that he is God, you'll see him show out in your life. I'm asking you today to clear your mind of the clutter. How do you do that? The scripture says in Romans 12, verse 2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed." How? By renewing your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you know that renewing your mind is the key to transforming your life? Do you know you'll never transform your life till you transform your thinking? The New Living Translation says it like this: "Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." The Passion Bible says, "Be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think." You need to think about yourself the way God thinks about you. Do you know how you clear your mind of the wrong thoughts and the hostile thoughts and the clutter? By replacing it with what God thinks about you. I'm going to give you 30 things that God thinks about you that you need to program your mind. Now there's hundreds. I'm not exaggerating. We could be here all day. If I had to tell you everything God said about you, we wouldn't have enough time in the day. But I'm going to give you 30 things. There's a lot of other things. This is what God thinks about you. And this is what you need to think about yourself. Now, if you're following with the handout sheet that we handed out, I've given you 30 points, and I gave you the scripture reference to make it easy. You're going to have to write as fast as you can these 30 points. And if you can't, go watch it online and write them down. It's not in the notes. They've got to write these 30 points in. If you can't get them all in, don't worry about it. You can watch it later and write them in. You ready? Here's what God thinks about you. Say, this is what God thinks about you. Number one, God thinks you are a masterpiece. Ephesians 2 verse 10, you are God's masterpiece. Say, I'm a masterpiece. God thinks you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Say, I'm wonderful. Tell your neighbor, I am wonderfully made. Don't know if you knew that about me, but I'm wonderfully made. Number three, you are accepted by God. Romans 15 verse 7, accept one another just as Christ accepted you. You know what? There may be people that maybe left you out. I remember when I was in school, I was one of the smallest in my class. I didn't start growing until like the eighth grade. Then I started growing. But I was very small, one of the smallest. And I kind of got picked on a little bit, and some of the bigger boys, and sometimes I got left out. You know when they play games, sport games, and I'll take you, I was one of the end. I was one of the last ones, not accepted. But then I started shooting up. And I always remember when I saw this one guy, we became friends, but he kind of picked on me a little bit. He was a year older and bigger. Then I saw him later on, and he was like this big. I'm like, what happened? He was like this tall. He used to be like that. He was like this. I grew. Thank God, God accepts me. You know what God thinks about you? Number four, you're a brand new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17, anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. The past is forgotten, and everything is new. Number five, you are a saint. Do you know you're a saint? The Rolling Stones sang a song, you'll never make a saint out of me. The Rolling Stones song, you'll never make a saint out of me. I got news for you, Mick. God made a saint out of me. And God made a saint out of you. How do I know that? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 2, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus. That means God called me to be a saint because I'm one of those who call on the name of Jesus in every place. Say, I'm a saint. Have you ever heard someone say, well, we're just all sinners. I'm just a sinner. God says you're a saint. Not an ain't, you're a saint. Number six, I'm righteous. Say, I am righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Say, I have been made the righteousness of God. Come on, say it like, say, I'll be made the righteousness of God. What does that mean? Do not ever accept a thought that you're unworthy, you're undeserving, condemning you. God says you are righteous. The righteousness of God. Number seven, you are blessed. Say, I am blessed. Ephesians 1 verse 3, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we're united with Christ. Say, I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. Number eight, you are more than a conqueror. Say, I am more than a conqueror. Romans 8 verse 37, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I am more than a conqueror. When a problem stands before me and the enemy says to me, you're never going to overcome it. Devil, shut up. You are a liar. God says, I'm more than a conqueror. That's who I am. Number nine, you are healed. Say, I am healed. 1 Peter 2 verse 24, by his stripes, by his wounds, you were healed. If I was healed, I am healed. Number 10, I am redeemed from the curse of sickness and the curse of lack. Galatians 3 verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. And sickness is part of the curse of the law, and financial lack is part of the curse of the law. I have been redeemed from the curse of sickness. I'm redeemed from the curse of lack. Do you know that poverty is a curse? Sickness is a curse. It's not a blessing. Number 11, I always have more than enough. I always have more than enough. Psalm 23 verse 1, the Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. That's how I think about me. When the devil tells you, you're never going to make it, oh, you don't have enough. I always have more than enough. The Lord is my shepherd and my best friend. Number 12, God's blessing on my life is making me wealthy. Proverbs 10, verse 22, the blessing of the Lord makes a person rich and he adds no sorrow with it. And if you read the NIV, I love the NIV, New International Version, it says the blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil. Say, I have God's blessing on my life, and it's causing me to become to be wealthy. Number 13, I succeed in everything I do. Deuteronomy 15, verse 10, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and everything you put your hand to. Everything I put my hand to succeeds. Say, everything I put my hand to succeeds. Say, I am successful in everything I do. Why? Because the Lord is with me. He's on my side. Number 14, I am delivered. I've been delivered. Colossians 1, verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Say, I've been delivered. So when the enemy comes to you and says, you're never going to break that addiction, devil, what are you talking about, you lying dog, you? I've been delivered. Number 15, I am set free. Galatians 5, verse 1, Christ has truly set us free. Say, I am set free. Say, I am free. So when the devil tells you, you're bound, you're addicted, you can't stop that habit, you say, devil, I've been set free. Number 16, I have authority over the devil. James 4, verse 7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. I have authority over the enemy. Luke 10, verse 19, Jesus said, I've imparted to you all my authority to trample over his kingdom. You will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. Absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in this authority. Say, I'm walking in authority. Number 7, say, 17, say, I am favored. I am favored. Psalm 5, verse 12, Lord, you will bless the righteous, and with favor you will surround him like a shield. Say, I am surrounded by the favor of God. Say, everywhere I go, God's favor goes with me. People love me. They want to bless me. They want to be good to me because of the favor of God that is on my life. You are favored. Number 18, I am forgiven and I'm free. Ephesians 1, verse 7 says, he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. Say, I am free and I am forgiven. So the next time the enemy comes and says, hey, remember what you did, devil? I am forgiven. My sin's been cast in the sea of forgetfulness. God doesn't remember it anymore. But let me tell you, the devil will love to remind you of it. He'll remind you of it. I had the enemy try to remind me of things I did 10 years ago. Come remind me of it. Devil, I've been forgiven of that. That's in the sea of forgetfulness, you lying dog, you. Number 19, I am not condemned. I am not condemned. Romans 8, verse 1, there is no condemnation to those who belong to Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation to me. God does not. Any thought that comes to condemn you is not God. That's where you know it's coming from. It's not God. Number 20, now some people, I mean, they don't know the difference between God and the enemy, because some religious people, they condemn everybody because they think God condemns them. Number 20, I am loved. I am loved. I am loved and I am lovable. Colossians 3, verse 12, you are always and dearly loved by God. Say, I am always and dearly, dearly loved by God. You see, God loves you dearly, and he loves you always. Number 21, I am strong. Say, I'm strong. Ephesians 6, verse 10 says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I am strong. Number 22, I do not have a spirit of fear or timidity, but love, power, and a sound mind, self-control. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Some translations say self-control. Some translations say God hasn't given us a spirit of timidity. Some people say, well, I'm just so shy, Pastor Steve. I'd love to invite someone to church, but I'm just so shy. No, you're not. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. And you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You ever seen a lion? There's something wrong with a lion that's hiding behind the tree. scared. You say, what kind of lion is that? A lion is fearless. A lion is bold. You are bold as a lion. You've not been given a spirit of fear. You've been given a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. Number 23, I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. Say it. Say, I can do all things through Christ. Philippians 4, verse 13, this is what God thinks about you. Philippians 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what God thinks about you. Now, the enemy, he'll come and tell you, you could never do that. You could never be that. Devil, what are you talking about? I can't do that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Number 24, I am chosen, I am special, and I am royalty. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, you are a chosen generation, you are a royal priesthood, you are a chosen generation, you are a royal priesthood, you are a holy nation, you are his own special people. Say, I'm special. Now, I don't mean special. Say, I am chosen, and I am royal. You know, the world's fascinated by royalty. 2 billion people watched the royal wedding of Harry and Meghan and then William, and like 1.9 billion people. People are fascinated. You want to see royalty? You're looking at him right now. Here you go. I am a royal priesthood. Am I not? I've got royal blood in my veins, don't I? You do too, right? I am chosen. I am special to God. Don't ever let the enemy or anyone tell you you're not special. You're not chosen, because this is what God thinks about you. Number 25, I'm an heir of God. Romans 8, verse 17 says, now if you are children, then you are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. I say, I'm an heir of God. And I'm a co-heir. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. Amen. Now, I mean, can you imagine being an heir of a wealthy billionaire, some wealthy billionaire? There's 607 billionaires in America, if you didn't know that. There's 607 billionaires. I know 603 of them personally. Joking. I searched it. There's 607 billionaires. And you maybe imagine being an heir of some billionaire. The guy who owns Amazon. That's your dad. You are an heir of God. You're an heir of God. Number 26, I'm the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. Matthew 5:14, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Say, I'm the light of the world. See, where you go, light goes with you. The light of the world. Number 27, I am complete in him. Colossians 2:10, you are complete in him. Number 28, I'm seated in heavenly places. Ephesians 2, verse 6, he raised us up together. He made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. 29, I'm never afraid. I'm never afraid. Psalm 112, verse 7, they will not live in fear of what may come, for their hearts are firm, ever securing their faith. They will not live in fear or worry of what may come. I am never afraid. I'm never worried. And last one, number 30, I never worry. Say, I never worry. Tell your neighbor, I never worry. Tell, I refuse to worry. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, I think 34. He said, refuse to worry. Refuse to worry. I'm asking you today to clear your mind of all the clutter, to empty out all the negative and program your mind with what God says about you. Think what God, think his thoughts. Say this, say, because of Christ, I'm not worried about anything. Say, I cast all my cares on you, Lord. Thank you that you care for me. Say, I have the peace of God ruling in my mind. Say, my life belongs to God. And daily I seek him. He directs my steps. Say, he leads me beside the still waters. My confidence is in Christ and in Christ alone. Come on, say it with me. Say, because his spirit lives in me, I can do everything that he calls me to do. In the name of Jesus. Listen, you got to think that. You got to confess that. You got, until you believe it, You may feel a bit foolish at first because maybe you don't believe it at first, but if you keep renewing your mind every single day, if you write it, if you think it, if you confess it, if you believe it, you keep thinking and saying what God says about you, I want to tell you, family, you will totally transform your life, transform your mind by God's word, family. If you'll do it, I believe you're going to give birth to dreams. I declare promotion and healing and freedom and breakthroughs are coming your way, that God is going to defeat enemies that are much bigger than you in the name of God. Is going to open doors you couldn't open. God is going to take you in the fullness of your destiny in Jesus' name. If you believe that today, give him a big praise and a praise. Come on, give him a shout today. Yes. Say this. Say, I clear my mind of all the clutter, every thought that is against the Word of God, every thought telling me what I can't do, every thought condemning me. I clear my mind in the name of Jesus. Say, I choose to think what God thinks about me. I focus my mind and I agree with you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Did you get something out of this today? I would I would encourage you to take this, to take those 30 points and to just, I mean, you don't get this because you heard me tell you one time. You don't get, I didn't get this one time. This has taken me years. I have taken years to renew my mind to such a point where I can recognize like that what thoughts from God and what thoughts from the enemy. I can tell. I can tell what comes from the enemy and what comes from God. It's easy because anything that, any thought that comes that disagrees with the Word of God, that's the enemy. Any thought that comes that agrees with the Bible, that's God. Amen. Thank you, Rick. Thank you so much. Why don't you bow your head for a moment? I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you for every person that is here today. I thank you, Lord, that by your word and by your spirit today, I thank you that you are clearing every wrong thought, all the clutter out of our mind, helping us, Lord, to keep our minds stayed on you, that we can live in that place of peace by the still waters in Jesus' name. Listen, as your eyes are closed and as your head is bowed, we never ever like to end a service without giving people the opportunity to make sure that all is right and that all is well between you and God today. So if you're not sure where you stand with the Lord today, I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for certain, without any doubt, that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church, and I'm not even asking you if you believe in God today. What I am asking you is, if you were to die today, can you say that you are absolutely sure that heaven is where you would spend all of eternity? Because let me tell you, the good news is that you can be sure of that. You can know that you know that you know that when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend all of eternity. You can know that all is right, all is well between you and the Lord. And you can know that every sin, every mistake that you ever made in your life is forgiven and it is washed away. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand, but right where you're sitting, while our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer that you're about to pray, because I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to make sure that all is right between me and God. I want to make sure, Lord, if you want to be included in this prayer that I'm about to pray right now, all I ask you to do is to just slip your hand up high. Just lift your hand up. I'm looking for hands. And if your hand is raised, then you're included in this prayer this morning. Thank you. Thank you. I want to ask, say this prayer with me. In fact, everybody, can we all say this together? Everyone, say this. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you will be saved. So say this with me. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent your son Jesus to come to this earth, to die on a cross, to take my sin. And Lord, you said that if I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I would confess that Jesus is my Lord, you said I would be saved. I would be your child. So I do this today. Come and say it with me. Say, I believe, Jesus, you be raised from the dead. And I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Save me, Lord. I surrender my life to you. And I confess, Jesus, you are now Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to live for you, Lord. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do what your Bible says. And I thank you because I have received you, that I am now saved, that I am born again, that I am a child of God, that heaven is now my home, and that my name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And everybody said amen. Praise God. We celebrate with Crystal. Right? Tony brought Crystal to church, and we're so glad today. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a big hand of praise. Will you do that? Ready? Thank you.
Good preaching. Stirs you up, doesn't it? Man, if you couldn't write those things down, go home and go over it. Write them down. Praise God. Now's the time in the service where we're going to have the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. Amen. Let me just say this. James Smith Jr. Wave your hand, brother. Look at him. He's just ushering at the back there. James has been nominated for the Gospel Male Artist of the Year. Woo! In a category with only 8 people. So we're going to vote for you, James. Go and look at his Facebook. See, we just keep voting till the 20th of January, right? And we just nominated you to sing at our Christmas dinner. How about that? Come on. Wednesday night. It's going to be good. Praise God. Well, now's the time where we give. And I just want to share with you 6 points about sowing and reaping. Dan, thanks. You know, the Bible was written mostly, it was written to people who understood working the land, right? And many of Jesus' parables involved a reference to the farming life. Sowing and reaping is seen throughout the Bible. So there's many examples of it. And I brought my notes with me. First point, sowing and reaping is a law of the natural world. It's all around us. The Bible says in Genesis that the land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants, and trees with seed-bearing fruit. Their seeds produce plants and trees of the same kind. Say the same kind. And God saw that that was good. So right there in the first book of the Bible, we see sowing and reaping. It's an intricate part of natural laws. And then in verse 29 of that same chapter, it says the plants were then given to men for their food. So since the beginning, men understood the process of sowing and reaping and has applied it for his benefit. You can benefit from sowing and reaping, right? So number 2, God uses the law of sowing and reaping to bestow his blessings. The Bible says in Genesis 26, it tells the story about Isaac, and it says, then Isaac sowed in that land. There was actually a famine there. It says, and he reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. So God uses sowing and reaping to bless you. Amen. Number 3, sowing and reaping implies a wait, right? So nothing good grows overnight. The farmer's got to be patient in order to see the fruits of his labor. You can't say, well, I gave last week and nothing happened this week. It doesn't work. Sowing and reaping, it implies a wait. The Bible likens the ministry, that likens the gospel to planting, watering, and reaping. It says in 1 Corinthians, I planted, Paul wrote, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So there's a process. In Galatians, it says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap. Say, I will reap if I don't lose heart. And so there's a process. And you, number four, we reap in kind to what we sow. So those who plant apple seeds, what harvest should they expect? Apples, right? Natural. We understand that. When you sow finances, what harvest should you receive? Finances. You reap in kind. So those who show generosity will be blessed more. Okay, this is number five. We reap proportionately to what we sow. This is all in the Bible. We reap proportionately to what we sow. You might say, well, God's got no favorites. No, but you can put these principles into action and see more results. Amen? So the rule is, the more seed planted, the more fruit harvested. The Bible applies this law to our giving. Those who show generosity will be blessed more than those who don't. Right? 2 Corinthians 9 says, here's my point. A stingy sower will reap a meager harvest, but the one who sows from a generous spirit will reap an abundant harvest. I like the sound of that. And verse 7 says this, you must each decide in your own heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Say that. Say, God loves it when I give cheerfully. You know, I thought about a farmer. Do you think a farmer's out there when he's sowing his seed? Do you think he's crying the whole time he's doing it? He's not crying when he's sowing his seed. You know why? Because he's got an expectation of a harvest, right? And the last point is, we reap more than what we sow. The law of sowing and reaping is related to the law of multiplication, right? Jesus spoke of a seed that produces 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. One grain of wheat, Google tells me, one grain of wheat can produce 8+ heads of grain. And each head of grain has at least 40 to 50 seeds in it. So it's multiplication. That's what sowing and reaping is. It's about multiplication. So we want to just thank you as we come to give. There are two envelopes in the seats in front of you. One is red and one is green, just in keeping with the season. And the first one, the red one, it's for your tithes. And we thank you so much for your faithful tithes. The tithe is what we return to the Lord. It belongs to Him. Amen. We know that. We thank you for being faithful with it. But throughout the month of December, what we do, like many churches do, we have a Heart for the House year-end Christmas offering. And that is the green envelope. And it's an opportunity to sow financial seed to bless the work of God, for this house of God to be fully provided for every need to be met, for us to take care of the few outstanding things we have still from renovating this building. We want to take care of that. And it is also an opportunity for you to sow financial seed for a harvest in your life. How many of you want to see more next year than what you saw this year? How many want to earn more next year than you earned this year? How many want to give more next year than you gave this year? Okay, we all wanting a harvest, right? But you know, we sow before we reap. Some people say, well, when my ship comes in, then I'm going to sow. When I win the lottery, then I'm going to give. No, we sow first in order to receive a harvest. So this is an opportunity not just to bless the house of God, which is a good thing to do, but it is for your own financial harvest. Amen? So I ask you to just prayerfully and cheerfully give generously to our Heart for the House through the month of December, and we appreciate it.
Amen.
And I think my husband wants to say something.
That was great. That was good stuff, wasn't it?
I told you it was good.
It was good.
I said to him in the car, I like my offering. Sorry, it was a bit long.
That was great. It was great. You know, we believe, how many of you know our God is a God of increase?
He is a God of increase.
He's a God of increase, right? Well, I just want to let you know, this year, 2019, at this moment in time, we're about $150,000 less this year than we were last year. $150,000 less this year than last year. That's a big difference, right? How many believe we want to increase and go? We want to press forward, not go back. Now, I haven't told you this. We just keep trusting God every week. But we're considerably behind what we were last year. So we're asking for you to pray, and if you're able to give something over and above. We're trusting God the month of December. We want to pay everything on this building. There's still some things outstanding. So that's what we're asking you to do. Thank you for your generosity. Say, I am generous.
I am generous.
I am not stingy. I am generous. I'm a generous giver. Amen.
Giver.
I want to let you know, can we just quickly, have you got the Christmas video ready? Play that video, then I'm gonna close. Play that video if you would. And then we'll close.
Hi, I'm Gigi, and I want to tell you about some exciting things we have going on at Ascend Church for Christmas. We're going to be celebrating Christmas all through December at Ascend Church, and we would love to see you. On Sunday, December 1st, at our 10 a.m. service, we have our Christmas card photo op. You can get a free professional photo taken by our photographer that you can use for your Christmas card. On Friday, December 6th at 7 p.m., join us for our Christmas family movie night. We will watch a family Christmas movie on our 21-foot LED screen. We will be serving popcorn, Christmas cookies, hot cocoa, and ice cream sundaes. On Sunday, December 8th at 10 a.m., we have our Christmas Around the World potluck lunch. Please bring a Christmas dish from your culture. On Wednesday, December 11th at 7 p.m., we have our annual Christmas dinner party. We will be turning our sanctuary into a ballroom. This is going to be a great time with great food and a live band playing your favorite Christmas songs. On Saturday, December 14th, we have our Drop Your Kids, Go Christmas Shopping Day. Your kids will have fun time here while you go to shopping. On Sunday, December 15th at 10 a.m., we have our live nativity scene with a petting zoo where we will reenact the birth of Jesus. On Sunday, December 22nd at 10 a.m., we have our Happy Birthday Jesus Kids Christmas Party. Your kids will have a blast and every child will receive a gift. These kids also will be performing Christmas song in the adult service. Our Christmas Eve celebration is on Tuesday, December 24th from 6 to 7 p.m. We will have carols by candlelight, an inspiring Christmas message from Pastor Steve. Finally, on Sunday, December 29th, we have our Vision 2020 New Year service. This is the best way to start your year, getting a vision for 2020. We really hope to see you at one or all of these Christmas events. We promise to make you feel welcome. So from Ascend Church, Merry Christmas and God bless you.
Now, Gigi got her head on today. Now listen, everybody. How many of you seen these invite cards? Wave your hand, hold your hand up if you've seen this. This card. Some of us haven't seen it. There's a whole pile of them out there on the lobby, on the counter. I don't want to see them on the counter. I want them to be taken outside and invite someone to come. These cards are not to sit on the counter. They're for you to take. Invite somebody. Next Sunday, we have our live nativity scene, Christmas Eve. I think we got a few wise men around here. A Christmas Eve service is on Tuesday, December 24th. I'm asking you, out of all of these things, especially to invite someone to the Christmas Eve service. Please let's not make Christmas about everything other than Jesus. Let's make it all about Jesus. Amen. People tell me, I can't come to Christmas Eve. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Listen, make it about Jesus. And then do all those other things. Christmas Eve service is from 6 until 7, 1 hour. Invite someone, bring someone. Now, this Wednesday, we've got our Christmas dinner. If you haven't bought your ticket yet, they're only $20. You need to get it today, please. And then I'm looking for helpers. We're going to take all these chairs out of here right as we close the service. We're removing all these chairs. They're screwed down. We're going to unscrew them. We put the little yellow tabs. Please don't remove those little yellow tabs because that helps us to put the chairs back where they were before. So all these chairs are going out today. I need men to help me. We're going to store them. The tables arrive tomorrow. We're going to have tables here. We've got great food coming in. We've got 20 ladies bringing desserts. We've got Leslie and Rick and the band. Muff, they're going to be playing music for us. We've got James going to be singing for us. We're going to have a lot of fun on Wednesday night.
I can't wait.
And I've got my sisters bringing her neighbors. Are they still coming? Your neighbors, you bring in your neighbors to the dinner. You're welcome to bring someone new, but we really would love to see you. We don't get an opportunity like this very often to be able to have dinner together and have fun. So I really hope that you will come and join us at the dinner this Wednesday night. And with that, we're going to eat now, right? Someone brought some food. Did anyone bring some food? Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your provision. And we thank you for this food that's been provided. We ask you to bless and sanctify it to our bodies in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand up with me. Stand up with me as we go today. We sing joy, unspeakable joy, joy to the world. The Lord has come.